Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
My birthplace was Leiden in the Netherlands. That was something I did not, something I could not plan or prearrange. And as you might well imagine, I still have lots of friends and family members in Holland. And every year, especially during the Christmas season, lots of packages originating in Holland find their way to my doorstep in the United States. But were it not for 7 points of identification, they might well end up somewhere else. They could end up in a factory in China, or a hotel in Jakarta, or a home in Taiwan. But there are 7 points of identification that ensure that the packages leave Holland and arrive on my doorstep. 7 points separate me from 6 billion options. My name, my number, my street, my city, my state, my zip code, and my country. And just as there are points of identification that allow a package to arrive on my doorstep, so too, there are prophecies that identify Jesus Christ as the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. And to make those points memorable, I've associated them with the first 7 letters of the alphabet, beginning with the ancestry of Jesus Christ. The ancestry of Jesus from Eve to Mary in and of itself marks a very narrow doorway through whom only the offspring of David could emerge. And add to that his birthplace, and all possibility of an imposter is eliminated. But anyway, in my book, Has God Spoken, I give you those 7 points of identification which prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that only Jesus Christ could emerge from that doorway. And again, I give it to you in a memorable format so you can not only read, but you can remember. And if you can remember, you can use this to be an effective witness. All part of Has God Spoken, now available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift to our ongoing work. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also pick up the telephone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Noel, listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a very dear friend that is terminally ill with cancer, and we're still praying for a miracle, so hopefully the Lord will give us that. But I was talking to him today about his faith, and he's a Muslim, or he says he's a Muslim. Here's where it gets a little confusing is that, you know, he made it clear, I'm not like the radical Muslims that you hear about on TV in the Middle East. Those guys don't know what they're talking about. And as we were talking, it's like, well, you know, he said he's been praying a lot, and so we've been praying for him. And of course, he knows I'm a Christian, and he thanked me for us praying for him and all. And anyway, I started asking him about, well, you know, I said, we're all going to, you know, leave eventually, but of course, we're praying that you're going to stay here with us for a lot longer. But I said, you know, whenever you leave, what do you say to the Father when you stand before him and he asks you, why should I let you into my kingdom? And, you know, he didn't have a quote Christian answer for that, but I use that to go over the essentials of the Christian faith with him, and he said he agrees with all that. And, you know, Jesus was lived the perfect life that God's holiness demands, and that he was offered as the perfect sacrifice in our place to pay the price for us, and that God raised him from the dead on the third day. And anyway, he agreed with all these things, and so then I wanted to make sure I wasn't talking past him somehow. I asked him that, you know, that Jesus is the Son of God, you know, and he agreed with that. And I was like, and Jesus is God. And I went over God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he didn't accuse me of the sin of shirk or anything like that. He agreed with me. And so he says he's a Muslim, but he agrees with the essentials of Christian doctrine. So, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, are we on the same page here? Or are we talking past each other?
Well, it doesn't sound like you're talking past one another. It sounds like you're communicating very clearly. And he's saying, in essence, I don't believe what Muslims believe. As you point out, I mean, a regular Muslim will tell you that if you believe that Jesus Christ is begotten of the Father, that you have committed the unforgivable sin of shirk. But again, it takes defining your terms. If he believes that Jesus Christ is God, if he believes that Jesus Christ was the only one to satisfy the justice, righteousness, and holiness of God, something that we could not do, if he's placing his trust in Jesus Christ so that he can be reconciled to God for time and for eternity, then whatever words he uses, he's expressing the Christian belief. And I don't think ultimately it is the absence of truth that damns. It is the despising of truth that damns. If you want to look at it in a very cursory fashion, everyone has the light of creation. He's not denying that. He believes that there is a God. To that light, you can also have the inner light, which is to say, we know from the universe in which we live there has to be a God, but God has placed a knowledge of himself on the tablet of our hearts as well. And if we respond to the light from without and the light within, then we can also, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 3, we can receive the light of Jesus Christ. And again, the issue is not the word, it's the meaning poured into the word. Obviously, the Muslim view of Christ is far different from the Christian view of Christ. And if you're clearly articulating that, as it certainly seems you are, and he's agreeing with that, then he's disagreeing with the Muslim belief. And I would point this out. There are a lot of Muslims that I have encountered over the years that I've had rich dialogues with who really don't embrace Islam in the truest sense of the word. First of all, many of them are not that steeped in their own religion, just like there are many Christians that misunderstand the Christian faith. Are they really Christians? Well, we make a difference between cultural Christians and those who are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think we could say the same thing about Islam. There are cultural Muslims. So I think that you are doing the right thing. You're communicating ultimately. If he's asking questions and you can continue the conversation, you can fill in the blanks and give him more and more detail and proof and all these kinds of things. But if he believes that Jesus Christ is the only way of reconciliation, that's what we believe. So he disbelieves Islam and believes Christianity, regardless of what label he uses.
Yeah, so like you're saying, a cultural Muslim, perhaps because he grew up in that society and he wants to label himself as that, but it seems as if he agrees with our faith. So, well, his wife is a Christian, and they've only been married a few years, but she got him a Bible, and he's been reading that recently, and he was quoting to me some scripture in Arabic and trying to, you know, translate it into English, and basically he's, you know, it's about Jesus being you know, sent from God, from the soul of God, and raised from the dead, and, you know, died for our punishment and raised from the dead. And that's when I kind of I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing about Jesus being the Son of God, but being God. And I quoted him, John 1, you know, and in the beginning was the Word, and explained that to him, went over that. And I recommended that he start reading in John.
Well, there's no accident that God's brought you into his life, and you are there for a purpose. He has a Christian wife, and he is not believing what Muslims believe in general, because Muslims in general believe that Jesus Christ wasn't even crucified, that God made someone look like Jesus, and the lookalike was crucified in place of Jesus. And not only that, because they don't believe that he was crucified, they don't believe he was resurrected. So again, what you are doing is phenomenal. God has you at the right place at the right time. And may God continue to bless your witness. We'll be right back with more answers to questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Nick. Nick is listening in New Jersey. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have an important question to ask you that's been killing me, and I have friends with MS and stuff like that that want to know the same thing. I'm a Christian. I've been born again 12 years ago. I had two bad car accidents, and I've been smoking medical marijuana for 15 years. Now, I quit last month because everybody around me has been making me feel convicted, but I wanted to know what your take is on this, because the doctor gives you pain medicine, which is man-made chemicals, and doesn't it say in the Bible we're in control of all the herbs in the ground, and didn't God make everything growing?
Yeah, and we shouldn't abuse anything. And the point, I think, with medical marijuana is we should use good discernment here and recognize that given the studies that have been done, which are fairly extensive, there are side effects. And so you should take into consideration the full corpus of information that's available. But even beyond that, I think even if it is permissible in places because of medical use, you need to be judicious, because we're called not to be in an altered state of consciousness in the metaphysical sense, just as we are called not to abuse our bodies in a physical sense. So I think ultimately you have to make the decision. Are you going to take care of your body, and are you going to take care of the metaphysical aspect of your humanity in a way that is circumspect and surrounded by biblical principles, or are you going to use the letter of the law as an escape clause? Now, I'm not suggesting that I'm making some kind of an ironclad rule here, but what I'm trying to do is get you to think about this clearly and be judicious in your decisions. It's not the state that ultimately matters. I mean, you have to obey the state as a Christian, but you have to go beyond that. You need to make sure that you take care of the physical aspect of your humanity and the metaphysical aspect of your humanity.
And I agree with you. And people don't know unless you go through this kind of pain. I've had 10 operations, metal plate in my jaw, severe sciatica, you name it. And it's constant pain, 24/7. I mean, a good day is when the pain is a little less. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And when I did it a little bit at a time, which helped extremely. And then you talk about side effects. There's way more side effects than man-made chemicals like Percocets and pain medicines and stuff like that, which the doctors want to load you up on.
Yeah, well, you've got a good perspective from an experiential standpoint as well, and I think this is the thing. You have to look at the moral law. You have to look at your civic responsibilities, and you have to look at whether medical marijuana has more problems associated with it than good that you can derive from it. But I'm not at all unsympathetic to what you are going through. I can honestly say I haven't experienced it, and therefore I don't want to shout, but I'm just trying to caution you to be as judicious as you possibly can so that you don't exacerbate one problem with a bigger problem. Again, I want to emphasize for everybody listening in the principles here. This is not dealt with explicitly in the Word of God, number one, but in principle, we are not to be subject to states of drunkenness or inappropriately altered states of consciousness. So in general, we are to abstain from mind-altering drugs. The principle is stated in many places in Scripture, but to mention one in Ephesians, we're not to get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit. So this gives you at least a principle. In terms of medical marijuana, this has been studied fairly extensively now, and there are side effects that should be taken into consideration even when it's prescribed. So there are general principles here. I can't speak to the specific cases, but I think we should take seriously the principles that are part and parcel of a biblical worldview. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Erlene in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Erlene.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You know, I've read many books on prayer and how to pray effectively. I've also heard pastors talking about prayer, and they've often used the terms to pray in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I've often heard them also say to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit or to walk in the Spirit? Is that the same as speaking in tongues?
No. We're told to test the spirits. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Satan's foremost strategy of seduction is to disguise himself as an angel of enlightenment. And I've often said that as slick a slogan is feel, don't think. But God's Spirit, in contrast to that, illumines our minds so that we may understand what He has freely given to us. So before you became a Christian, reading the Bible is like reading someone else's mail. But once you become a Christian, reading the Bible is Jesus Christ speaking to you through His Word. As Jesus said Himself, "My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they follow Me." So you have the illumination of God's Spirit. That illumination ultimately comes through the Word of God, which illumines our hearts. So to pray in the Spirit on all occasions is to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And one of the most amazing aspects of that sword is that it's alive, it's active, it's not dead and dull. So God speaks to us today through the mystery of the Word. So when we're praying, it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And it's also a way of recognizing the sovereignty of God over every detail of our lives. In effect, you're saying, thank God, this world is under His control and not mine. So to pray in the Spirit on all occasions is to pray in concert, in harmony with the will of God.
Okay. You know, I've also heard pastors say, while you're speaking, to speak in tongues.
Well, tongues is one of those secondary issues that Christians debate, but from my perspective, I don't see any basis on which to say the gift of tongues is normative today. Can God cause someone to speak in a tongue or a language? Yes. Is it normative? No. And therefore, I can't categorically say that it ceased at a particular point in time, but I can categorically say it is not normative. And therefore, I don't think to pray in the Spirit has anything to do with praying in tongues.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my question.
You got it, Earlene. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Dan, Oak Hill, West Virginia. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question has to do with the end times. I used to listen to Jack Van Impe quite a bit, and I just pretty much accepted that, you know, that's the way things were going to happen. And I've heard you talk against things like that, and I've begun to change my mind with the help from you and a friend of mine. But anyway, doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere that we will know when the time is near, even at the door, or is that something I've maybe a preacher said or something?
No, I mean, it is something that you find in the Olivet Discourse. Certainly there are signs of the times, and Jesus Christ spoke specifically about that. The problem is people want to take His words and apply them to something in the 21st century when His words were directed specifically to a first century audience. He was talking about the destruction of the temple, and the disciples are amazed. And so when they get Him in private, they ask, when is this temple going to be destroyed? When is the end of sacrifice going to take place? When is your coming in judgment? And Jesus Christ answers that question specifically. He says, learn a lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you will know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. And then He says, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. He's talking about the question that the disciples have asked Him. He's answering that question. The problem is people don't know how to read their Bibles. And therefore, you have people like Bart Ehrman, who's now a skeptic, who says, well, Jesus thought He was going to come back then within a generation, because He said, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Of course, anyone that's read through the Bible immediately knows that this is language from the Old Testament. It's judgment language that now Jesus is applying to Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in the first century. So the skeptic that says Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet simply doesn't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And that ultimately is the mistake that's made. And this is the problem that you have with people like Hal Lindsey and Jack Van Impe, they're constantly misreading the Bible, and therefore they're calibrating dates. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to come back. The fact is, we know that Jesus Christ will come back, that he will, as Hebrews says, appear a second time. We just don't know. We know that when he comes back, he'll put all things to right. The dead will raise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He will deal forever with the problem of sin and Satan, and we will enter the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So paradise lost will become paradise restored. A great place to end the broadcast today, because we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can check this out, what I've just said, at a number of different places, including the Apocalypse Code and Has God Spoken? They're available, as are many other resources, when you check them out on the web at equip.org. Again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.